MoneyWeb now on the money.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Chatting now with Dr. Adrian Saville, Genera Capital. Adrian, appreciate the early morning. We chatted last year, about mid-year or so, we were chatting around deflation, and you told me I might have to have salary cuts, which still gives me some sleepless nights. We're now almost on the other side of the coin, and I wanted, before we sort of get to the mechanics of it, how important is inflation expectations? When we were talking deflation, part of the trick is that if I think something's cheaper in a year, I delay buying it. In an inflation environment, I imagine if I think something is more expensive in a year, do I rush out and sort of buy my big ticket items? And this kind of feeds into that inflation cycle.
Simon, exactly. The expectations component is a critical aspect because it institutionalizes, it bakes into the inflation arrangement what people think inflation is going to look like some period from now, 6 months, mm-hmm. 12 months from now. And if I think inflation, if at the moment it's 5% and I think it's going to be 10%, then when I am contemplating wage negotiations, pricing arrangements, I'm going to set my wage expectation in anticipation of that inflation. So expectations, what you think is coming down the line, is very often more important than what you're seeing in the inflation print. So at this point, I think really needs to be emphasized that people are forward-looking and they do anticipate what's coming. And this is a key part of understanding inflation risk and the inflation environment.
Yeah, and I mean, economics, so much is people, and people at an individual level are relatively smart. I mean, they can look out the window and say, that's going to be more expensive. Well, what about scenarios? I mean, the Social Security in the US, their cost of living increase, it's going to be 5.9% when it kicks in next year, which is the highest number in 40 years. That must also lead to, A, people feeling richer, so maybe a little bit more sort of, I don't know, keen to go out there and spend. But if I got 5.9 this year, my expectation for the next year is also going to be higher. And again, that just sort of feeds into it. So it's both the sort of expectation of what my salary increase will be, but then when I get it, that feeds that loop.
Yeah, and in the world of finance and economics, the behavior here that we talk about is an attribute called anchoring, that your or a recency bias, that what has happened most recently is what you might anticipate to happen next. So amongst other things, you've got the expectation taking you higher, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And it's just a self-fueling mechanism that the expectation of higher inflation actually causes higher inflation. Just to rewind to your earlier points about, if you think prices are rising, will you rush out and buy stuff? Theoretically, yes. And if everyone does it at the same time, then it's a bit like a run on the bank. If we all rush to the store in the same moment, expecting that the prices of food, cars, clothes is going to be higher or meaningfully higher later, we should buy it now, then we're going to boost demand artificially, and that will cause prices to go higher. So there's so much in here that is about the way in which people behave in anticipation of, and that expectations component then is absolutely critical.
Yeah, we essentially pull forward next year's shopping into this year, and as you say, that then boosts this year's demand, and then we get inflation. So then I look at the US at this point. In April we were 4.2. I mean, if you go back to October, we were 1.2%. Well, they were. They hit 4% in April. They've been above 5% since June. I mean, they've had 5 months of a plus 5% inflation. Do we start to worry that this starts to get baked into the system?
Well, the language that's being thrown around in policy circles is that this is transitory, and I think the reason why this word is being used so much, with such frequency and emphasis, is because if we can get people to expect that this inflation is exactly that, that it's transitory, then they'll let it go. They'll let this one go. It's like, yeah, it's 5%, but it's passing. Remember the 2% or the 3%. So the emphasis on transitory is to try and insist that although you're seeing 5% now, this will pass, relax, you know, it's soon going to be over. You make the point that we're now starting to see a regularity of the 5%. And if that's the case, then people will quickly be drawn out of the belief that this is transitory, and they'll start to change their belief based on the experience that, hang on, you know, this isn't so transitory. It most certainly is 5, and it's sticking around. And then the flywheel of inflation is kicked in.
But I take your point on that, because I've always noticed our governor locally, he always refers to 4.5%. He never gives the 3-6%. He says 4.5%. And I've always figured, because he doesn't even want to mention 6%. He wants that not even on the table. Just don't even talk about it. Have that 4.5. He's setting expectation. I hadn't realized that's exactly what Jerome Powell is doing by saying transitory. He's not doing a number, but he's using that language to try and not hoodwink, but to try and calm the population.
Yeah, and it's to persuade us. And not, you know, that's not meant in a negative, sure, or deceitful way, but you know, persuade us in our expectations that this is what the environment is like. And so, in South Africa domestically, you're absolutely right. Let's not talk about 3-6, because people will fear the worst 6. Mm-hmm. They'll set their plans on that basis, or they'll set their negotiations or pricing arrangements on that basis. And similarly, in the conversations going on in the US in particular, this is transitory. Let's not talk about the 5. Let's instead just agree that this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm. So you're calling them. I mean, is this U.S. inflation and transitory? Is it going to come through? I mean, we've got, I mentioned the Social Security cost of living increases. We've got oil at multi-year highs, both West Texas and Brent feeding into it. We've certainly got staffing challenges in the U.S., which one way you resolve that is higher salaries and the like. Do you think in a year's time we'll be talking about that transitory phrase, or in a year's time are we talking about structurally higher inflation? Maybe not 5, but sort of a 3.5 mm-hmm. or a 4.
Why not 5? Because there's so many things in the system that point to higher rather than lower inflation. Mm-hmm. And here's an economist about to make a forecast, so let's meet in a year and we can talk about how wrong I am. But there's a couple of things that sit in the system that preload us for higher inflation. Amongst others, the abundant printing of money, and low interest rates, spring-loads the system for inflation. The second is supply-side constraints, and microprocessor shortages is just an example. Yeah. Constraints in supply chains, in ports, in logistics, in transit, all of that is feeding the inflation system. Energy sits in the supply chain. Beginning of the year, oil is $40 a barrel. It's now 80 plus. Mm-hmm. And then you've got demand side factors, which include you've referenced already the social wage program, which has encouraged spending or has helped spending. Perhaps is better helped rather than encouraged. So you've got supply, you've got demand, and you've got the money system, all indicating higher, not lower, prices.
Yeah, and hence, why not 5? I take your point in that. A little spooky, but why not 5? We'll leave it there. Dr. Adrian Saville, always appreciate the time. Always come away smarter. Genera Capital. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.